Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. Wow, look at what's going on these days in what is supposed to be our republic. Before, all during, and even after Donald Trump's presidency, the Democrats, aided by their near total control over the mainstream media, along with their rhino, you know, Republican in name only, and other deep state allies, railed every day about how Trump supposedly stole the 2016 election from their darling, the obnoxious idiot and left-wing establishment harlot, Hillary Clinton, with the supposed assistance of Russia collusion. The Russia collusion hoax was investigated ad nauseum by Congress as well as others, including the exhaustive multi-million dollar Mueller group, composed primarily of pro-Hillary Clinton Democrat activist attorneys, and it all came to nothing. No evidence of significant Russia collusion or any other collusion was turned up. And this, as all the while, media and establishment pundits, politicians, and other powerful societal figures called for violence in one form or another to bring down Trump and cheered on the nationwide riots involving the communist Antifa and Black Lives Matter organizations. However, when it was clear that there was absolutely nothing to support the Russia collusion hoax, rabidly anti-Trump Democrat Congressman Adam Shifty Schiff, who had earlier proclaimed he had irrefutable evidence of this supposed conspiracy, then lamely declared that just because no significant evidence, I believe no evidence whatsoever, had turned up against Trump, that didn't mean Trump wasn't guilty. Now, today, with the establishment deep state firmly in control and their man Biden in the White House, the FBI is going after, investigating, and intimidating anyone who questions or denies the supposed legitimacy of the 2020 election that put Biden and company in control of the White House and Congress. As was widely reported last month, the FBI is even investigating election integrity warrior and MyPillow.com CEO Mike Lindell. FBI agents caught up with Lindell in Minnesota while he was on his way back home from a hunting trip, according to him, and subjected him to questioning about his activities. And of course, you are aware of Joe Biden's fiery speech in Philadelphia early last month, given against a bizarre backdrop of dimmed red lights and Marine standing guard that some have called evocative of Satanism and hell, in which Biden declared that Trump-supporting MAGA, or Make America Great Again, Republicans, are a threat to the very foundations of our country. Later, Biden seemed to walk back this charge a bit, stating that not all Trump supporters are necessarily a threat to the republic, but anyone who challenges the legitimacy of the 2020 election and or calls for violence is a threat to our democracy. Now, the only violence I can see that Trump supporters have engaged in was this breach of the Capitol, and I don't know how many of them were actually involved in some of these violent acts there. I believe, as I'll state later, that we do have evidence that there were a number of Antifa people there and Black Lives Matter. And they were led on. This is a setup, in my opinion. But apparently Biden forgot about all the people in his own party and others calling for and cheering on violence against Trump and Trump supporters during Trump's presidency and challenging the legitimacy of the 2016 election. That there was a riot of sorts and breach of the U.S. Capitol building on January 6, 2021 in protest of the results of the 2020 election, widely believed by Trump supporters to have been stolen, so that the deep state establishes Biden and company could be installed in power. I don't deny that there was this breach in the Capitol. It was a riot of sorts. You saw the violent acts, people smashing windows, knocking down doors, or trying to, bursting in. But it does again, there's quite a bit of evidence we can go over this. We talked about in earlier shows about that they were led on. They let, unfortunately, many of these people who were true Trump supporters, I think, were led into this matter by people who were setting them up, undercover operatives of one group or another, including our own government. President Trump's lawyer, one of them, at least a former lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York City and a renowned federal prosecutor, and others have related that there is evidence, as I said, that the several hundred people who breached the Capitol that day included Antifa and Black Lives Matter agitators and likely undercover government operatives as well. The overwhelming majority of the hundreds of thousands of Trump supporters who gathered in protest that day in Washington did so peacefully. But a few hundred of them did go on to participate in the breach at the Capitol. I'm not making excuses for these people or their illegal activities there, mostly trespassing, as I understand it, but I can certainly understand their frustration, and I firmly believe they were duped into their illegal trespassing activities. Watching what I have of the sham Democrat and Rhino Congressional January 6th committee hearings, and now witnessing the nationwide crackdown on 2020 election deniers and challengers, it's obvious to me that the establishment's deep staters, along with their masters in the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, are afraid. They're afraid they may not be able to corrupt the 2022 and 2024 elections, at least not to the extent they did in 2020. That's my opinion and a lot of other people's as well. Nevertheless, as I'll say later again on this program, I'm still very worried that they're going to be doing everything they can to throw the 2022 midterms and beyond. Still, the CCP operatives who are alleged to have hacked electronic voting equipment nationwide in the USA during, before, and after the 2020 election must be laughing at the chaos they are believed to have brought about here. The CCP, which openly backed Joe Biden for president, lined Biden family members' pockets, and perhaps even those of Joe Biden himself, with at least $31 million in cash payments, and bitterly opposed Donald Trump for the presidency, are accused by Mike Lindell and his team, as well as others, of hacking into election machinery in almost every county in the U.S. during the 2020 election. And those cyber attacks were successful, flipping millions of votes cast for Trump to Biden. The fact that the electronic election equipment manufacturers and their supporters have thus far refused and been backed up by courts to allow forensic access to their machines to confirm this alleged hacking raises significant suspicions that they have something to hide. They contend their equipment, including software, as I understand it, is proprietary, and since they are private entities, it's not subject to such inspection. But I have to agree with constitutional law scholar and attorney Alan Dershowitz that these companies became part of the government when they ran or participated in the running of our elections, and thus cannot claim immunity from forensic inspection and analysis. Nevertheless, courts up to this point have helped protect and shield the voting machine companies from demands to inspect their hardware and software, which it stated would report, it is reported, would show these hacking attacks, and the origins of the attacks, but not if they are successful in deleting all this information from their machines. While they and their supporters keep maintaining that the 2020 election was the most free and fair in history, there is an abundance of evidence it was not. Though any and all efforts at full forensic investigations of election equipment and ballots cast in the 2020 election have been fought vehemently and continually ever since the election, where there have been significant investigations, a great deal of evidence has been uncovered pointing to widespread, well-organized, well-orchestrated fraud in the election. Just look at the report of the forensic audit in Maricopa County, Arizona, and Wisconsin Special Counsel Michael Gableman's investigation and report to the Wisconsin State Legislature, to name two specific examples. In my mind, and those of many, many others, there's no question that there was massive and, as I said, well-organized fraud in the 2020 election, and that this fraud was largely motivated and supported by greed due to the billions, if not trillions, of dollars worth of investments and rich, huge cash rewards associated with the communist Chinese government there and the Communist Chinese Party, which runs the government. In China, where the carefully state-controlled economy, rigged for decades with the disastrous growth at any cost philosophy of environmental devastation and wild speculation. The CCP relies on endless, massive infusions of Western capital to prop up its corrupt and murderous regime. This is the same regime our stupid, greed-crazed Western oligarchs and globalists hope to use as a model for their bizarre notion of a future world government. And yes, we do also have a number of communist and other one-world government true believers and advocates who many have been involved in election and vote fraud or otherwise supporting it. At least that's the information I've seen. This would be due to their belief that the ends justify the means of their goal of ending the Constitutional Republic of the United States and plunging the world into slavery, ostensibly for our own ultimate good somehow, under a one-world tyrannical socialist government where the elite few are super rich and powerful and exercise near total control over the masses. So what exactly is the deep state that is vigorously working for the world government aristocracy and slavery? And who are the people involved in it? Retired Colonel John Mills, former Director, Cybersecurity Policy Strategy and International Affairs, Office of the Secretary of Defense of the United States, and author of the new book, The Nation Will Follow, A Record of Firsthand Experiences Fighting the Deep State, discusses the deep state in detail and what non-deep state people can do to fight it, since we are in the majority. I've just begun reading Colonel Mills' book, and we'll have more to say about it in future shows. Let's listen to an interview with Mills recently by Emerald Robinson on her The Absolute Truth TV show on Mike Lindell's frankspeech.com website. This is from Robinson's show September 30 and is titled Exposing the Deep State. Our soundbite begins with Robinson remarking that it has become more and more evident that the FBI has become a weapon of the deep state, and she's relating to the fact that they are going around subpoenaing people who are Trump supporters and taking their phones. Mills' basic premise is that we must all get involved locally in our county elections to ensure that they are truly secure and fair. Secure your county, secure your county, Mills states, and the nation will follow. Hence the title of his book. Play soundbite one, please.
Clearer and clearer by the day that the Bureau has become nothing more than the personal Stasi for the deep state. And the whistleblowers are facing the full weight of this deep state, which retired Colonel John Mills knows all about and writes about in his new book out now, The Nation Will Follow, Firsthand Experiences Fighting the Deep State and the Action Plan for the American Citizen. In it, Colonel Mills writes about the deep state retaliation for whistleblowers, saying that, quote, to serve your country, you have to know the system. And Colonel Mills joins us now. Colonel John Mills, good to see you. And perhaps no one knows the system better than you, because after your official military service, you began to serve in more of a civilian capacity as a contractor, right? You advise major policymakers, senior military officials, and that's when you really came to understand the deep state, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Emerald. And even before that, I was a senior civilian before retiring from both the military and the civilian sides. But it wasn't until the end of my career, really, when I realized, especially when I found myself right in the middle, I realized there was a spying operation against candidate and then President Trump. So it was a very shocking part of my career to realize right at the end of it, I was in the deep state, right in the middle of it.
And in fact, in your book, you describe this kind of jarring encounter that was really a wake up to you, in which you call the A-ring encounter. That's a section of the Pentagon for people who don't know, and you're outside and you run into someone you had respected, you knew, you were surprised to see them. And you have this conversation that centers around the election, and they say, we are with her. And I want you to just share that encounter with our audience, because I found this, I've seen this happen in DC. I saw it at that time. And then you had to ask, who is we? Who is that? Can you explain?
Yeah, absolutely, Emerald. It was a shocking and jarring moment. Steve Bannon in the preface calls it my Damascene moment. And it was just unbelievable. I was on my way to a meeting, and almost ran into somebody who had been a Bush W appointee that I'd worked with them very closely, considered them a good friend, colleague, mentor. And this was July 16, right before the Republican convention. And I didn't mean this to be a political comment, but I knew he was obviously had been a Republican appointee. And I said, "You're gonna support Trump at the convention, right?" And he said, "No, we see more opportunities with her." And I just immediately, it just jolted me, and I just said, "Who is we, and what opportunities do you see?" I was mad. And I just right then I realized there is a uniparty. There is a swamp. What Donald J. Trump was saying was absolutely correct. And I, at that time, and again, I didn't mean this to be a political situation. I was a professional, a careerist, a civilian at the time. And we always try to be apolitical when we're in the game and on duty. And here a Bush political, I'm kind of curious, why was he in the building anyway when this was Obama time? So a very disturbing event.
And when we talk about the deep state, I feel like even sometimes myself, I have to kind of grapple with who are they. And I thought you did a good job of breaking down it into three different sectors, right? And the point you also make in the book, and it's an excellent read. Now, it reads more like a kind of thriller in a way. So it's very entertaining, but I have to tell you the information that's in there. And you saw a side of it. Some of the figures I knew, like Rich Higgins, who I had such deep respect for, you mentioned his work in the book. You were on a similar path. And now, like, I just saw a whole different side of things that I experienced as well during this period of time, but it would be very informative for the readers. And what I thought you did really well is breaking down who is the deep state. And you list it as bureaucrats, technocrats, and plutocrats. You have four different sectors that they control, being academia, the media, politics, technology. And their real goal, you say, the American people are now the target, and the purpose is to ensure the continuity of the deep state. And the deep state isn't just a domestic entity. This is a global deep state. So can you just speak on their overarching goal and how they attain this power? And you talk about how alluring it is to be part of the deep state, and that's how they kind of recruit and grow their numbers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're seeing with under the guise of wokeness in both the career civil servants who are supposed to be apolitical. They take an oath of office to the Constitution, just like uniform military. And we're seeing just absolutely over the top, out of control wokeness, this cult and of wokeness. And it really just suddenly switched on. General Milley, I'm not speaking ill of General Milley, I'm just pointing out policy differences, but his behavior is just stunning and shocking, and the service chiefs to this cult of CRT training and wokeness. And it is alluring, and there's many inside, whether they be a career civilian, whether they be uniform military, whether they be contractors, they'll say, "Well, I'm a conservative." And you go, "Really? Okay, tell me about it." And talk to them. They're not conservative. They have sworn an allegiance to a perpetual deep state, which is international in nature. It is part of a uniparty domestically, and it's just the elite and the globalists in the world. And this is what we're seeing. It's the citizens, that's even though the Rasmussen poll showed that 84% believe or are absolutely open to the topic of deep state. There's only 16%, according to Rasmussen, who say there is no deep state. That means we're the majority. Okay. So most people actually understand now that there is an international deep state that seeks to control society.
So we're running out of time, but I feel like we always have to discuss what do you do about it? So as you noted now, and you know, repeatedly in the book, the majority are not deep state. They are a small minority for the most part. So what can be done? How does the majority overcome this very powerful minority?
Oh, thank you, Emerald. Yeah, that's essentially the title of the book is Secure Your County and the Nation Will Follow. Secure your county, because as I've studied it, as I've had to study and write papers on hundreds of complex national security of situations, as I studied this, I realized the American Constitutional Republic is based on the county. So Americans, American citizens, American patriots, get off the couch and get in the game in your county. Right here in Prince William County, Virginia, took almost 2.5 years to bring my former registrar, because all 3,300 roughly county and county equivalents have 7 common centers of gravity. And it's your county council, election board, your registrar, your school board, judges, sheriffs, and prosecutors. And so 2.5 years for my former registrar, she has now been indicted on 2 felony counts of corruption in the November 2020 election by the new Attorney General for Virginia, Jason Meares, under Governor Youngkin. 2.5 years. And it was not just me. It was several. You can't just convene a grand jury based on one person's statement here, but I've been duking it out with her. So citizens, fight it out at your county. If you don't like the deep state at the national level, secure your county, because all voting, everything based on your county.
Yeah. We're still bottom up for right now. Democracy, though, the powers that be would like you to think otherwise. And as you note in the book as well, by keeping us divided, that the deep state grows more powerful, has more power that way. Go get the book. The Nation Will Follow has an action plan and talks more about it. It's just a really great read. Thank you so much, Colonel John Mills, for joining us today.
As you may know, Mike Lindell, Trump-supporting lawyer and former federal prosecutor herself, Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, Fox News, and some of its most prominent news and opinion personalities are being sued for billions by electronic voting equipment and election management systems companies Dominion and Smartmatic, alleging defamation over these people's criticism of them and their computerized equipment and software. Countersuits by Lindell and Powell alleging a lawfare conspiracy by these companies to ruin them financially and intimidate them into silence have been dismissed by a Trump-nominated judge who has also allowed the defamation suits of Dominion and Smartmatic to proceed. Once Fox News was sued, it stopped discussing the election fraud claims and issues. Just because Trump nominated this jurist doesn't mean they're beyond question in their rulings. There's a lot of people involved in these judicial nominations, I understand it, and presidents don't necessarily know or have detailed knowledge of the people they end up nominating, many times at least, and for these judgeships. And I don't know. I'm not clear. Maybe he's correct in what he did, but unfortunately, at least for Lindell and Powell, at this time, their lawsuits are not in progress. Here's some audio from Mike Lindell's The Lindell Report TV show on frankspeech.com, where Lindell initially, at the beginning, he applauds Fox's Tucker Carlson on his Tucker Carlson Tonight Show, recently discussing the FBI's investigation of Lindell and Joe Biden's denunciation of those who criticize or question the 2020 election. Lindell lauds Carlson's discussion of the matter right after the FBI. This is done right after the day or two after the FBI reportedly stopped Lindell, questioned him, and seized his phone. This Tucker Carlson segment is titled, Biden is Engaging in Classic Totalitarianism. Please play soundbite 2.
So one of the things that I prayed for that would that Fox would start talking, and here's Tucker in the second night right after this happened, everybody.
If the leader of one party, who happens to be the president, redefines the other party, not as a political party, but as a criminal organization, what is he doing? Well, of course, he is demanding a one-party state. And that's what Biden is doing, and he's using federal law enforcement to make it happen. So the question is, how is he getting away with it? And he's getting away with it by changing the terms. You can't just say openly, I want a one-party state with me at the head. No. You have to make the other side unacceptable. So when Biden talks about Trump voters, he doesn't talk about voters or Americans. He describes an insurgency. He implies an armed rebellion, not unlike the Confederate Army. Trump voters, Biden tells us, aren't just wrong. They tried to overthrow the U.S. government. And you can't debate people like that. You have to crush them. Democratic leaders across the board appear to believe this. Tim Ryan, who's running for the Senate as a Democrat from Ohio just yesterday, told Morning Joe on MSNBC, quote, "We've got to kill and confront that movement. Not defeat it, kill it." That's how dangerous populist Republicans are, according to the Biden White House. This is the language of totalitarianism. It's very obvious. And in a functioning system that wanted to remain democratic, people in power would push back against it. The media, business, any responsible person would say, no, you can't do that. That's too much power. We can't vest all the power in one political party. That's the road to something awful. But no one's pushing back. In fact, daily, the media reinforced the message. Daily, the media remind us that anyone who has questions about the outcome of the last election isn't a disgruntled voter. That person's a criminal. That person has embraced the big lie. You see it in every news story. The big lie. People like that are irrational and dangerous, and they will be punished, and rightly so. And now they are being punished. Yesterday afternoon, FBI agents apprehended a man called Mike Lindell at a Hardee's drive-thru in Minnesota, and they seized his personal cell phone, the one he does business on. Mike Lindell is not a wanted criminal. He's not even a public official. Mike Lindell, as you likely know, sells pillows, especially on this channel. So why would the FBI, armed FBI agents, be apprehending Mike Lindell? Because he questioned the outcome of the last election. He participated in the big lie. He's a threat to the system. That is the consensus view in Washington now. This is a very big change. In a free society, by definition, all questions are allowed. You can't have a democracy unless you are allowed to discuss its mechanics. Free speech is a prerequisite for a democratic system, obviously. And until very recently, everyone in America unquestioningly understood that dissent was not a crime, it was a patriotic act. And people committed it at scale, especially Democrats. For years after the 2000 election, Democrats claimed that George W. Bush was not the legitimate president. Some still say it. They may believe it. And then in 2016, the entire Democratic Party rejected the outcome of the presidential election. A foreign power got Donald Trump elected. Democrats said that, and they continue to say it every single day of Donald Trump's term. They impeached him over it. They hamstrung the executive branch of the U.S. government with an investigation into Russian influence that in the end turned up nothing. What would you call that? You would call that election denial. You would call that the big lie. But no one was punished for it. No judge removed Adam Schiff from office for doubting the election results. The FBI didn't raid CNN's biggest advertisers. Everyone just moved on. You may have hated the Russia hoax, and we certainly did. But there was never any question that all American citizens have an absolute constitutionally protected right to question election outcomes. And by the way, you are even allowed, maybe even encouraged, to question the mechanics of voting. Why wouldn't you question them? Voting is the means by which huge amounts of money and power are transferred from one party to another. There is an awful lot at stake at the richest, most powerful country in the world. So, of course, Americans have an absolute right to see proof, not suggestions, but proof that the system is on the level. And when they are denied that right, maybe it's a sign the system isn't on the level. Once again, that used to be obvious. It was certainly obvious to Democrats. Here's a clip you may not have seen before. This is the current Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, speaking not so long ago, June 2018, about the integrity of electronic voting machines. Kamala Harris was a senator then. Watch this.
We recently also, I actually held a demonstration for my colleagues here at the Capitol, where we brought in folks who, before our eyes, hacked election machines. Those that are being used in many states, but are not state of the art from our perspective.
Oh, Kamala Harris publicly raising questions about the integrity of voting machines. Well, you know what didn't happen next. The FBI did not trap Kamala Harris at a Hardee's to seize her cell phone. No one in the media called her an insurrectionist. And honestly, whatever you think of Kamala Harris, why would they? If you actually cared about democracy and the trust in the system that is a prerequisite for democracy, you would encourage all questions from U.S. citizens about how your democracy was administered. You would never censor those questions. You would never punish the people who asked those questions. ever. Even news organizations once understood this, not so long ago. During the Trump years, CNN published a video entitled, "We Watched Hackers Break Into Voting Machines." Oh, that was allowed then. CBS ran a report entitled, "How Electronic Voting Machines Could Hack Your Vote." Oh, really? Did the FBI come after you at Hardee's? No, they didn't. That's what news organizations used to do. Ask obvious questions. Make sure everything works. If there's corruption, we'll sniff it out. We're going to reassure you that your vote counts. You have to be reassured or else the system collapses. You can't just tell people to shut up, ban them from Twitter, and arrest them. And once again, even Democrats understood that. In 2019, a couple of them, Elizabeth Warren, Mark Warner of Virginia, wrote to the makers of election systems complaining about potential security vulnerabilities. Quote, "There has been a lack of meaningful innovation in the election vendor industry, and our democracy is paying the price," end quote. Is that true? Honestly, we have no idea. We're not endorsing that view then or now. We're merely saying it is not a crime to ask. In fact, it is a prerequisite if you want to have a healthy system that people are allowed to ask and the people who are asked are required to show proof to reassure them. Of course. But now, Democrats and the media who serve them are pretending that no one ever asked questions like this until 2020. Ever. Never happened before. Watch.
This is a nation that believes in the rule of law. We do not repudiate it. This is a nation that respects free and fair elections. We honor the will of the people. We do not deny it.
Oh, the rule of law. So the rule of law, the new law is shut up. Right. They were telling you it was a, quote, free and fair election about which no debate was allowed the day Joe Biden was certified the winner. The day. Right. Before they could know, in other words. So that's Joe Biden's new position. Here's the same, and we checked it. This is the same Joe Biden, a little dimmer, but still the same guy today, back in 2019.
He's an illegitimate president in my mind. That's it. He's illegitimate. And my biggest fear is that he's going to do it again with the help of Vlad, his best pal, and we're going to be stuck for six more years of this guy. And that is terrifying. It's terrifying.
Would you be my vice presidential candidate? Folks, look, I absolutely agree.
Oh, faced with an election denier who violates the rule of law and our sacred norms in public on camera, Joe Biden doesn't scold her. He doesn't call for the FBI to trap her at Hardee's and seize her personal communications device. He jokingly offers to reward her. We're so on the same page, we could run together. But he didn't run with that election denier. He ran with this one.
Elections matter. When you win an election, you get to set the rules.
How can you win with Russian interference, though?
That's a real thing.
That's what I'm scared about in 2020.
But rightly.
Because I think he's an illegitimate president that didn't really win. So how do you, you know, fight against that in 2020?
You are absolutely right. So, again, as a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, I will tell you that we should believe exactly what the intelligence community has told us, which is Russia did interfere in the election of the president of the United States in 2016.
So that clip is from 3 years ago. This is how insane the conversation we're having is right now. No one seems to remember that. It was just Sunday. It's Wednesday, this Sunday, like 3 days ago, that same person, Kamala Harris, did a taped interview with NBC News and Chuck Todd, the comb-over guy, to explain that Republicans who have the same questions about the last election that she had about the election before that should not be allowed to hold office. It's a threat to the Republic that they are running for office. In other words, democracy is a threat to democracy. This is the currency of the Democratic Party and has been for years. Lose the election, immediately question the election. Stacey Abrams, anyone? We could show you dozens and dozens and dozens of clips like this. Not from small-time people, from Kamala Harris, from Hillary Clinton, from Karine Jean-Pierre. You get the point. This is crazy. But under Joe Biden, the Department of Justice appears to be doing everything it can to criminalize questions about the last election. Complain about election fraud, the FBI might show up.
Now here's some audio from a recent broadcast on, again, on Lindell TV on frankspeech.com. whereby Lindell attorneys Patrick McSweeney and Kurt Olson discuss efforts to keep voting machine operations secret and the dangers of this for our democracy. The audio file begins with McSweeney speaking, then we hear from Olson, then back to moderator Brandon House and McSweeney. Please play soundbite 3.
Mike has been accused of being the promoter of the big lie. You know, the big lie is that there is no evidence of tampering of this election or the 2020 election. We can pile up the evidence, but if the Main Street media will, and the Justice Department will not pay heed, or even the January 6th committee, it doesn't matter because the public's not getting the message. But this will eventually come out, and it's going to be, they'll find out the big lie is that there was a big lie. There's ample evidence, and there's plenty to have acted on. We knew the machines were vulnerable. We knew there were incidents where decertification should have occurred immediately after the election, even before the election. If this had been the Democrats on the other side and the media was on their side, we would have heard an entirely different scream since 2020.
Well, and we did before 2020. I mean, there's, you know, videotapes of then-Senator Kamala Harris saying, on the Senate floor, I watched these machines being hacked before my very eyes. And
exactly.
You know, it goes on and on with a number of Democrats, you know, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, you know, all saying the same thing prior to 2020. There's one other point I'd want to make, if I may, because Pat mentioned the Curling case in Georgia. And, you know, out of that case, which the court held the plaintiffs had standing, Professor Halderman from University of Michigan, he had access for 12 weeks to examine an election management, so the ICX system that Dominion uses in Georgia. And on that 12-week examination, he produced a 25,000-word report, which was kept sealed for quite some time, and I don't believe it's been released yet, but where he said there are critical vulnerabilities here that can be exploited to, quote, steal votes. I can demonstrate proof of concept, and it affects machines used in 16 states. And so, and CISA eventually came out with an advisory in which they identified 9 vulnerabilities that apply not just to the ICX, but any component within the system, because malware and viruses and exploitation can occur throughout a system. And what they said was, there's no evidence that any of these vulnerabilities had been exploited, but they never looked. CISA never looked. But the larger point in this is, why is Professor Halderman given 12 weeks? He's not, you know, he's a civilian expert, cyber expert, just like any of our cyber experts that authored the MESA reports 1, 2, and 3. Why is he given special access to a server for 12 weeks? And then just by chance, because he was given access, he discovered all these critical vulnerabilities that he himself said, quote, can be used to steal votes. And that this is a national security threat because he was trying to get this report to CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. Why, if Professor Halderman can be given 12 weeks to access, why can't the public be given? Why can't anybody be given access to look at these machines? The vulnerabilities, the issues that Professor Halderman identified came about by luck. It didn't come from a government organization that was looking at these machines, supposedly protecting our votes. It came because in civil litigation, Professor Halderman was given access. And that is the reason where he was able to find these critical vulnerabilities that he said that affects voting machines used in 16 states. These machines are used for a public function, our most precious right to vote. There is no reason that they should not be opened up for anybody in the public to inspect. This is not rocket science. These machines are simply there to read a ballot and then tabulate the ballots. That's it. And that's public function. The idea that there are all these investigations that are going after people in Georgia that Pat was mentioning, in Colorado, like as we've seen now with this, with Mike and Tina Peters and others, in Michigan, they're doing the same thing. And so, again, what do they have to hide? That's what this is about. And on Fulton County, I might add, Fulton County wanted to have a forensic examination of this EMS. This is maybe about 8 months ago. And Dominion sued them and took it all the way to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court to prevent Fulton County from employing a cyber expert to do a forensic examination of these machines. They obviously had done it before. I guess there was another one they wanted to do. But this was a Pennsylvania Supreme Court decision, ruled 4-3 in favor of Dominion, that Fulton County could not do a forensic examination of the machine. And again, what did they have to hide? This is a public function.
And yet, wasn't Professor Holderman's whole report buried? Isn't it been sealed by the courts?
It was under seal. Go ahead, Pat.
No, his declarations should be enough. Mike should have needed nothing more than proof that these machines are subject to this kind of manipulation. That should have eliminated machines. Just that demonstration, not whether something happened to change votes, just that could happen. Now, when you have the number of people in this country who are not confident the elections are fair and honest and transparent, you can't have a democracy.
You may have seen the video clip of Joe Biden giving a speech at some event a few days ago, after which our president wanders off to his right on stage, seeming to be looking for someone to shake hands with who isn't there. And some other person nearby praises Biden for his supposed great leadership. This is yet another glaring example of Biden's cognitive decline. Here's a short soundbite from commentator Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Minute podcast series. This one was posted September 21 and is titled, Not Knowing Who is President Threatens National Security. Please play soundbite 4.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. It's obvious that Joe Biden is not actually performing the duties of the President of the United States. His calendar scarcely has anything on it. He's mostly off duty in Delaware or Camp David, and even when he's nominally working, he's clearly doing the bidding of unidentified others who are actually making the decisions. This is a national disgrace and a grievous departure from the principle of representative and accountable governance that is at the heart of our constitutional republic. Now, it has become a real national security threat. On 4 separate occasions, Joe Biden has declared that the United States would defend Taiwan if it were attacked by Communist China. All 4 times he was swiftly countermanded, again, by unnamed White House officials. Such behavior emboldens our enemies and intensifies the danger of an avoidable war. It must stop now. This is Frank Gaffney.
Finally, on today's program, let's listen to the first few minutes of Rudy Giuliani's September 24 episode of his Rudy's Common Sense podcast series on his RudyGiulianics.com website. That's Rudy, RudyGiulianics for commonsense.com, RudyGiulianics.com. The title of this episode is Be Prepared for Election Warnings from a Fascist Playbook. Here, Giuliani is discussing deep state establishment propaganda meant to convince voters to vote for Democrat and Rhino candidates. I should say propaganda and activities. And the idea is to get you to vote for them, vote for the left wing, the Rhinos, the the Communist Party of China supporters, secretly or otherwise, in the midterm elections and beyond. Please play soundbite 5.
Hello, this is Rudy Giuliani back with another edition of Rudy's Common Sense. Today we are going to devote ourselves to kind of a lesson or lessons so that we can be prepared for the propaganda of the next, the remainder of the month of September, October, and early November. In other words, the election propaganda, which is now become a matter of, repetitious behavior on the part of most of the Democrats, certainly the Democrat crooked leadership. And I was going to put at the top of my list fascist tactics, because all these things that I mentioned, you could find listed in recommendations from Marx, Engels, Hitler, Lenin, Trotsky, Mao, and Saul Alinsky. Let me tell you the four categories I put them in. There are more, but I'm trying to get this down to a manageable group. And so you can recognize them as they are used during this campaign. You will see they've all been used almost to the point of ad nauseum since, certainly on a major scale since 2015, 2016. These have been all used. Actually, some of them go way back in Democrat use of tactics, and to a large extent, the influence of the Communist Party within the Democrat Party has always been there, mostly overwhelmed by the good Democrats. The AFL-CIO was formed to fight the communists in the labor movement that had worked their way into the labor movement and never get a good job with the teachers union, which I'm not even sure is part of the AFL-CIO. I think they are now. Well, here are the tactics, and then we'll give you the examples. And then I'd like you to communicate with me at RudyGiulianiCS.com. Add some if I've left some out that you think are significant, not the minor ones, but the significant ones that are capable of repetition, or tell me you think I'm wrong. All right. So here are the tactics we're talking about. Projection of wrongdoing. Projection is really a technical psychological term, and we'll describe that in a minute. Creation of crimes. In other words, framing people for things they didn't do, or taking a minor wrongdoing, usually not considered a crime, and escalating it into a crime, or what we call, you know, weaponizing politics with criminal prosecution. Perpetration of big lies, which is usually done, I should have put repetition down here, which is usually done by repetition and is quite successful because of control of the media, which the Democrat Party has had for quite some time, similar to the communists and the Nazis and the other forms of communists and totalitarians. Controlling most of that media is crucial to their success, and you can't say they don't control it. And finally, destruction of enemies. So we have projection of wrongdoing, creation of crimes, framing, perpetration of big lies, and destruction of enemies. We could say total destruction. This goes from canceling to getting a person fired, to getting a person ostracized, to getting a person demonized, and then ultimately to see if you can put the person in prison or at least ruin their reputation with criminal prosecutions that end up dropped or defeated. But, you know, the dropping and the defeating is nowhere near as helpful to restoring reputation as the actual prosecution is to destroying. Was the Secretary of Labor in the Reagan administration who was falsely prosecuted, who after he was acquitted by a jury went to the press and said, "Where do I go to get my reputation back?" Well, there's nowhere to go, really, except hopefully the goodwill of the American people. And the American people are good. It's their leaders right now that are not just bad. I would say we've had bad leaders before. Don't know that we've ever experienced this level of evil. Yes, yes, yes. I say evil. I think the picture that Biden created in that last almost satanical speech was one of Satan. Looked like he'd emerged from Hades, hell. And it, as I said at the time, being an opera fan, it reminded me of scenes I've seen in Gounod's Faust or Boito's Mephistopheles or Berlioz's The Damnation of Faust, where Mephistopheles, the devil, comes and takes the soul of Faust. It's taken quite a few souls at the top of the Democrat Party. Biden family, great example. Clinton family, another great example. So now let's look at what I'm talking about so this has more meaning to you, and therefore you'll be able to pick it up as we are going along. And as soon as I start giving you these examples, I think you'll know if you don't know already, I think you'll know exactly what I'm referring to here.
You can listen to the full podcast of this episode on RudyGiulianics.com, where Giuliani gives numerous examples of the categories he's mentioning here. My friends, I remain very worried about the outcome of next month, it's October now, it's November next month, the midterms. and our future elections. It makes sense that if they've gotten away with rigging and stealing our elections on a grand scale, the treasonous actors who oversaw this massive fraud in the 2020 election will be at it again with all the effort they can muster, both next month in the midterms and beyond. Colonel Mills and former Trump advisor and television and radio host Steve Bannon urge everyone who wants to save our country and civilization to vote and get involved in their local elections as much as they can by volunteering to be poll watchers and or other election workers and observers. I am doing this. Mike Lindell and his team urge everyone to vote in person rather than with fraud-prone mail-in ballots, as this will help to thwart the algorithms, which they say are allegedly surreptitiously inserted into their allegedly surreptitiously inserted computer programs in voting equipment used to manipulate votes. You can find more information about what you can do to get more involved and what is happening by looking over the information provided on frankspeech.com. And as just two other examples, the websites precinctstrategy.com and votifynow.org. That's precinct, precinctstrategy.com, precinctstrategy.com, and votify, V-O-T-I-F-Y-N-O, sorry, votifynow.org, V-O-T-I-F-Y-N-O-W.org. All across the country, there are concerned patriots getting involved to try to save our republic by securing our elections. But these people, however many thousands there are just a tiny fraction of the public. Will their efforts be enough to carry the day on Election Day 2022? Only time will tell. But there's still time for you to make a difference, if you haven't thus far committed yourself. Without truly free and fair elections, our republic is gone. That's it for another show. As always, we hope you found the content of interest and value. You can listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted in the next few days on the Jim Benson Show page at bbsradio.com. That's BB as in Bob, BBS as in Sam, radio.com. Look for us live with another show 2 weeks from today in the same time slot. Have a good rest of your day and evening.